Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. To God, lover, beloved, and love. Amen. Again, this is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. Paul writes, night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. This Advent, Linda, Helen, and I will reflect on the theme of prayer, especially as it relates to our longing or our hope that this world has a glorious future in God. I wonder if you long for a good future. I wonder if you hope that the world will grow into the lush, just, peaceful, joyful garden God has created it to be. Or perhaps I wonder if you are beginning to question whether or not this world has a good future, with billionaires looking for the nearest space shuttle to get the hell out of here, with climate concerns with no one taking responsibility, economic threats with the rich getting richer and the poor poorer, with political upheaval and deepening division between neighbors, with pandemics and flooding and fires, and just by the by, we through Advent with our friends over at the parish of St. Andrew in Langley are collecting money through the PWRDF to support the rebuilding of Lytton. There are many ways to give to support those displaced by the summer fires, and I ask you to look into them and donate. And if you are able, also please consider giving to those closer to home affected by the flooding still happening around us. You can give again through the PWRDF or through the Abbotsford Disaster Fund or Relief Fund that has been set up. And you can find info on how to give on the front page of our website. But with all of this in mind, I wonder if you are beginning to question whether this world has a good future. I wonder if you have much hope that the garden God planted will grow and produce good fruit, fruit that our spiritual ancestors longed for, such as healing and reconciliation, the end of war, the start of God's kingdom. The season of Advent is a time to check in on these wonders and these hopes, to take a pause and look inward to see if maybe this longing and this hope needs some sort of renewal, revitalization, re-energizing, maybe even some resurrecting. Because none of us is immune from the troubles of this world. We see it all. We all see it, feel it. We are all unnerved by it. Maybe even to the point of despair and hopelessness. Like the ancient people of Thessalonica who first received a letter we now call scripture, sent by someone worried that the hope to which they were called was beginning to fade due to their present circumstances and the appearance that God maybe isn't coming to help like they were first taught to believe. We in our circumstances have a lot in common with these spiritual ancestors of ours. The ancient people of Thessalonica, some of the first to hear from the Apostle Paul the good news that God brought to the world in Jesus Christ. Paul visited the ancient city and taught them the message God had given them. He taught them that the images of stones and wood, those so-called idols that they prayed to, were in and of themselves unable to help. But not to be alarmed, because the one who made the stone and the wood and the creativity to create those idols hears and is coming to help. What wonderful news. Paul taught about a God who was able and wanted to help. Paul also taught the ancient Thessalonians that God had come to the world in the life of Jesus. That even though Jesus had now returned to God, and even though there is still violence and pain in this world, that Jesus will return to rescue us from it all. Jesus will come and save us. What a good message. Not only that God is able and interested in helping, but that God is actually coming to help us. Paul also taught the ancient Thessalonians about love being the way to interact with one another. Not only did he teach this important lesson with words, but he even exemplified it in his own life. He taught the ancient Thessalonians to live lives of loving service toward one another, to visit one another, to cook food for one another, to pray for one another. And when we are steadfast in this labor, this work in the world. Paul taught them that they could be confident that in their actions, they were participating in God's work. Isn't that good news? That our actions in this world is a participation and a connection to God's action. Paul also gave hope to the ancient people that God holds all of God's children in God's hands. Whether they are living or whether they have died, God's great family is secure in God. And those who have died will not miss out on the good things God has planned for the world, even though while they lived, they did not experience those good things themselves. No one in Paul's message to these ancient peoples will be exempt from tasting the fruit of the garden God has planted. Good news! Our loved ones lost to war, disease, suffering, loneliness, mental health, age, or any other reason are still inheritors of God's great future for this world, and no one and nothing is lost in God's plan. And finally, a piece of good news for those Thessalonians, news we can take comfort in ourselves despite the trouble we face in the world. And there are many. For the Thessalonians, it was trouble in the form of threat of the loss of safety, threat of violence, threat of death. Despite the varied kinds of trouble we and they face in the world, we are not abandoned by God. God is with us day and night, night and day. God is with us in good times and in bad times. God is with us and God will come to save us. Beautiful, longing, hopeful, Adventy good news for those ancient people and good news for us today. But good news is tough to hear in difficult circumstances. It is tough to hear and believe and long for and hope in good news when the bad news is louder and more pressing. This is where the spiritual practice of prayer comes in. Listen again to Paul. Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Night and day, Paul prays earnestly that he might come again in person face to face and drown out the bad news with the good news he taught from the start. Night and day, Paul prays in earnest that the faith, this is what faith is, the practical actions of our hope, that the faith of the Thessalonians would be restored, would increase, despite their current troubling circumstances. Here we can learn two things about prayer and hope. First, prayer is an earnest act of community. Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face. We are called to pray, first of all, together, in community. Of course, we are called to pray privately, but private prayer is built on the foundation of communal prayer. Communal prayer first, private prayer second. Why is this the case? Because communal prayer, public prayer, prayer here at church, say, ensures that we have access to and are able to listen to the good words of God and are not merely stuck in the bad words of our wounded hearts and minds. In private prayer, when it is removed from communal prayer, we become subject to our own individual experiences of life, both good and bad. In communal prayer, we are able to subject our own individual experiences of life, good and bad, to the greater story of God's. Face-to-face prayer, communal prayer, is the foundation of all other prayer in the Christian tradition. We pray together so that we can pray apart. We listen together to the stories of God's great future for the world as expressed in song and scripture each Sunday so that when we separate and go our various ways in the week, we are not overwhelmed by our private individual experiences, but place all those experiences into the greater context of God's great story. My friends, I pray night and day earnestly that we in this isolated pandemic and flood time of human history will continue to make our way back into face-to-face meetings, physically or virtually, that face to face we may encourage one another of God's great future and see our hope grow strong. The first thing is, prayer is in community. Second, prayer leads us to restoration. Night and day, Paul writes, we pray most earnestly that we may restore whatever is lacking in your faith. We pray because we need healing. We need healing in our own personal lives, and we need healing as a community, and we need healing as a human species. We need healing not only of our sicknesses, you know, those things that we participate in that actually harm ourselves, others, and the world, you know, sin, sicknesses, sin, like greed, hate, the pursuit of something at the expense of another, fear of not having enough, anger that someone has more. We need healing from all of these and more. And so we pray for ourselves and for others. But we need healing not only for our sicknesses, but also we need healing of our vision, of our hope. So many times Jesus healed those who were visually impaired. I read those stories as stories of those who have lost their hope, their ability to see God's great plan for the world, those who have lost their ability to look beyond their personal sicknesses to the greater, broader need of healing and hope in this world. I pray night and day that your vision for this world will be restored, healed, renewed, and yes, maybe resurrected, so that the stories of pain of this world become set in the greater and wider context of God's story, creator, helper, renewer. And do you want to know a secret? When we are restored in our hope, our sight for this world, then our faith is renewed. Faith is the arms, hands, feet. Faith is the body of our hope. It's hope embodied. When we know what we hope for, we reach out and take it, and that's faith. When we hope for a more equitable world where the goods of the earth are shared with everyone in need and no one goes hungry or cold, then we can reach out and do the things we need to do to attain our hope. Without the hope, we can't have the faith to accomplish it. We pray for the restoration of our hope. When we hope for a world of reconciliation, where responsibility for actions past and present is acknowledged, and where Indigenous and settler can live in joy as neighbors, where Black and white can forge a new path of love and honor, where LGBTQ pluses and so-called straights can walk unafraid, arm in arm, when we hope for a world when nations can stop fighting for their own security and fight for one another's security, then we can put our hands and our feet to work to make it come to pass. Without the hope, we can't have the faith to accomplish it. We pray for the restoration of our hope. When we hope for a planet that is not simply a marketplace for us to buy and sell its goods, no matter the cost, when the earth is not just a means to our economic pursuits, when we hope for an earth that has space for all and not just one species, you know, the human species, well, then we can put our hands and feet to work to make it happen. We earnestly pray for the restoration and healing of our hope, for we as human beings have such a global impact when we lose our hope. This Advent, take a moment and look inside. How hopeful do you feel? What is your longing for this world? Then pray. Pray together and pray for the healing of your hope. That would be a great start to pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our friend and helper. Amen.